Good morning and welcome to Autauga Baptist. We are so glad that you are joining us this morning on the big screen, the small screen, whatever you have. We've just been going over some announcements and everything this morning, and the end result is we are glad to be in the house of the Lord together and together worshiping. Everybody here is masked up this morning as we get ready to sing praises to God. I pray that you had a blessed week this week. Today we're going to be in Hebrews 12, 1 through 14, and we're going to be talking about on the road to glory is what we're going to do. But before we get started with our music, before we get started with Brother Trey coming up and giving us his inspirational words for the week, we are going to open up with prayer. It is so wonderful to have each and every one of you here this morning. I pray that Hurricane Sally, I pray that you're well. I pray that you have power. I pray that you have everything you need. Remember, God is the Redeemer of everything. And John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world is what I am. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's what each and every one of us, as we start our weeks, let's have that light of life. As we step forward, as we push through our relationships, our conversations, our meetings with other people, our meetings with our family, let's do it in a manner that will bring honor and glory to Jesus. Let's open up with prayer. Father, we just come before you right now, Father, and say thank you, God, for all the wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us. I ask, God, that you be with us as a church, Lord, as we move forward. Father God, as we just want to glorify your name and all that we say and do, I pray, Lord, for all those that were mentioned on our prayer list, Father. I pray, God, that you will heal, Father, where healing needs healing. And Lord, you will bless where blessings need, Father God. You will give wisdom where wisdom is needed, Father God. I pray, God, that you will just be with us, Lord, that as we go back to a church where we get started back again, but it's not the same old normal, Father. Help it to be a better normal, Lord, than what we're used to. May, Lord, as we today, as your people, gather in your name, God, may everything we say and do glorify you. God, I just pray, Lord, that you will be with us, Father, as we take this our next hour. Be with us in our songs, Father God. Be with us in our preaching, Father God. And be with us, Father God, as we depart from here, Father, so that we can be the light that you need us to be. Be with Sister Leslie. Be with Brother Trey, Father God. Be with us, Lord, as a church as we move forward. Father, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Sister Leslie, come up and bless our hearts this morning. We're so glad that you are here. Let's sing songs and praise God.
We're going to do Victory in Jesus first, and we'll do the first and last verse of Victory in Jesus.
My heaven is roaming. I love that song, Victory in Jesus. It was when I went to New Orleans, I didn't know what God's call was on my life. And from time to time, I still wonder his call on my life. But I went down there to become a music major. And my goal was to, I shared this a little bit with y'all, my goal was to travel and sing across the country with quartets and things like that. And God never worked that out, and that's fine. But the song that they wanted me to sing, or they said, do you have a song to sing? I said, well, let's sing Victory in Jesus. So we sang Victory in Jesus. Now, all these other people were in here singing Ave Maria and all these other things and singing in Latin and all that other stuff. And I got to that eventually. But anyway, Victory in Jesus is what we sang. And then another time when I interviewed with a quartet in Kentucky, he said, well, what do you want to sing? I said, well, how about let's sing Victory in Jesus? So we sang Victory in Jesus, and he kept taking it up another notch and another notch and another notch until I fell out, and he decided that was enough. But anyway, it's a special place in my life. I love that song. Anyway, how many of you have ever trimmed branches from your property, low-hanging limbs? When I'm bush hogging or when I'm cutting with the riding lawnmower, I don't want to have to duck and dodge underneath the limb. So if there's one I'm bothered with, I'm going to cut it down. When I drive up my driveway, I don't want a limb coming down and touching my car. So I go down and I cut it out. Well, yesterday, the family and I got together. We did a few things. And like at Michael's house, Brother Michael's house, I'm sure everybody under the roof at one time, it's happening less and less as the kids get older. But everybody was under the roof, and then Allison had to go to work. So I had all the kids there, and I said, I got all my worker bees here today. So we cleared out the carport, and then we started working on some other things. And I had the youngest two, Rusty and RJ. Judge me or not, it works well. In the bucket of my tractor, and I lift them up, and they get the loppers, and they'd cut the limbs out, or they had the bow saw, and they'd cut the limbs out. Who needs a pole saw when you got that, right? Anyway, so we were doing that, and it just got me thinking about the passage here in John chapter 15, and where Jesus is talking about being the vine and the branches. Skip down into verse 5. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But this, my Father, is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I don't want my relationship with the Lord to be pruned off. I don't think any of us want that. I'm not talking about losing our salvation. Our fellowship with the Lord can be dulled. It can be cut, and it takes commitment. It takes time to get that back. I don't want to be a branch that's not bearing fruit. I don't want to be a limb hanging off of the vine of Christ that's just in the way. I want to be one that bears fruit. I want to be one that's going to share the gospel. I want to be one that's going to go out and tell others about Christ with the way that I live and the way that I talk. And I believe that all of us can. And there's so much in here that in this passage that we could preach on it for 3 weeks. But what I want us to understand is, take a look at your relationship with the Lord. Take a look at the things, if you take it down to the personal level, what are the things in your life that need to be cut out that will ultimately help you grow farther in the Lord? You know, whenever we've got a peach tree on our property that's been there for a long time, and I'm probably going to have to cut it down because it doesn't bear any fruit. But I hate to cut it down because it's such an old tree, you know. But it's in the way. It was planted a long time ago, back before the our house was built, and I guess it bared fruit at one time. But it, when it does, it bears one peach about this big. That's about all it does. So we're just going to have to get rid of it. I don't want my relationship with the Lord to be pruned in such a way because I'm not helping. I want to be a branch that's worthy of the Lord. So that's what I have.
I'm going to do Tell It to Jesus, and we'll sing the first and last, Miss Theresa. Mallory, so if you'll watch that.
Southern Baptist sponsored my parents in 1969 to go to Colombia, and that's where I grew up. I grew up in Bogota, a city of 5 million.
While growing up and serving with his family on that mission field, Brian made a profession of faith at 10 and experienced a call to missions and specifically church planting at 15. Then a family friend suggested he pursue his ministry training at Samford University, where he would also meet his wife, Laura. That would be the first of his many connections to Alabama over the years. Since college, God has used Brian and Laura, along with their two children, all around the world, from Ecuador and North Africa to California, Washington, Virginia, New York, Florida, and now again, Alabama.
I always come back to Alabama. We're here to serve God's purposes and see a church planted in, or a church replanted, or a church gathered in from other denominations and other walks as they become Southern Baptists and walk with us and being gospel bearers and being part of the change that God wants to do here in every community in Alabama.
And so it was that on April 1st, just as the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown was taking place, Brian returned to Alabama to become the lead church planting strategist for the State Board of Missions, building on the foundation laid by his friend and predecessor, Lamar Duke, who passed away earlier this year and who Brian first encountered in New York.
I was touched by Lamar's heart for the nations and a heart for lostness and a heart for the church. And I thought, I like this guy. I know that God has laid a foundation that is Bible-centered, gospel-centered, all about the church, that he's going to use to move forward and create a movement to seeing 20 and 40 and 60 churches planted and replanted and new churches gathered in as we work together for the sake of the gospel.
The pandemic hasn't slowed Brian down. If anything, he's more excited than ever about starting new churches and resourcing church planters.
We want to have in Alabama not just lots of churches. We want to have churches that plant churches. To plant churches. Church planting is always on my heart because I know that people need to hear the gospel and they need to have a place they can go and worship with people that are growing in the gospel and making a difference in their community.
He's especially excited about the impact the Myers-Mallory State Missions offering has on church planting in Alabama.
Your giving allows us to not only train and equip planters and resource them with opportunities to get helps for them, but also it allows us to directly support several of these church plants throughout the year. Also, as someone moves to be more stable, it allows us to give and help them rebuild buildings, fix up buildings, have a permanent witness in a community. One of the new things we're doing this year is we're also opening up coaching. We want to coach church planters. We don't want to just send them out. So every church planter has a coach, and we're about helping them monthly reevaluate, have somebody to listen to their needs. So as you pray and as you give and as you get involved with church planting locally, you're going to make a great difference for the kingdom.
Like we said earlier, I hope today that we are able to blow past 3,000 today. I hope between both services, I hope that we are able to exceed our goal today is what we would like to give. I think the giving right now for missionaries all across the United States, local, nationwide, overseas, is now more important than ever. Because a lot of these missionaries are not where they're supposed to be right now due to COVID. They are waiting for orders again. Some of them have had to, you know, come back off the field due to being, you know, almost being locked into a country where they couldn't go out. So they need our prayers, our financial support, whatever we can give them. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12 is where we are going to begin this morning. And I titled today's message, The Road to Glory, because it all takes our road to glory is just like Trey said, it is ongoing all the time. And we need to be really focusing our eyes upon Jesus is who we need to be focusing our eyes upon. We have to be in shape for God's glory. Now, I'm going to tell you, last Sunday, I have had a pretty hard week. Nothing that is stressful has happened or anything, but I have been sore all week. And so the youth last weekend, last Sunday night, our youth leader, fearless youth leader over there, says, "Hey, let's go bowling." And I thought, bowling? Okay, well, I haven't done that in 3 years, and so we'll go. Believe it or not, Trey Jones can throw a bowling ball over 20 miles an hour down the lane. Is that not impressive? Mine were going 15. I'm a pretty strong guy. He could throw the ball and make it go 20 miles per hour, and it would tell you how fast it's going on the screen. That was your high number, 22.53. I was totally impressed. No. I did win the last game, but I'm not mentioning that. But anyway, so I noticed as I got home Monday and I got up, I was moving a little slower Monday morning. As things were tweaking and hurting a little bit, my hand, my wrist, my elbow, my lower back, my knees, it had been kind of a, wow, what has happened? And I thought, oh yeah, we went bowling. So I might not be in the best physical shape of my life at this point, although I'm trying, I do exercise, I move around, I walk a lot. But I don't pick up balls and throw them at pins every day. I don't do that. I don't know, it might be fun for some, but maybe just not my cup of tea. And so I tend to fall out of shape a little bit. But as we start our road to glory, we need to be in the best shape of our lives when it comes to God's Word and our relationship with Him. That's where I feel pretty good about, that I am in shape and ready for the return of Jesus. I am ready when the trumpet sounds. Let's look at what, and like I would say, I'm going to open up with 11, 39, and 40. Hebrews 11, 39, and 40. And it says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we take these next few minutes, God, let us see, Lord, you in action. Let us see, Father, you in the words, God, as we do. Lord, help us to take your words, Father God, and apply them to our lives. Apply them to our walk, Father. Lord, help us to be in better shape, spiritual shape for you, Father, that we may grow closer with every day, every minute, that everything we do reflect you. Father, be with us as a church, as a community, as a group of believers, Father God, as we just want to bring you honor and glory. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your name. Amen. When we think about being in shape, we think about spiritual athletics. We think about the Christian race. Now, the reason I opened up with 11, 39, and 40 is because I'd like to point out one thing. As we know that Paul, although the author's not mentioned, we believe it's Paul to be the author of the book of Hebrews. It's 13 chapters. And when he says right there in 11, have you ever looked at a chapter and found like the... Have you ever dissected a book of the Bible or anything? Or maybe looked at an overall theme of a set of passages? Well, I'm just going to tell you, the one that jumped out of me in Hebrews 11 is the word faith. Faith is used 29 times, the word faith. And faithful was used once over 40 verses. 29 times he uses the word faith. So think about your faith in Jesus Christ as we look at today's scripture. Think about it, how it applies to you. And think about what you can do with your faith as we open up. So let's start right there with Hebrews 12, 1. And let's look at this a little bit by little bit and see what the author is trying to tell us. 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So right there we get the audience, we get the preparation, we get the how to run part. He tells us exactly how to do it. Now, let me ask you a question today. Who is your biggest audience a lot of times that you run towards? Who is it hardest to be a Christian in front of? Who is it hardest to be? A lot of times, who are you the most relaxed around? A lot of times, this goes back to our own families, believe it or not. We have no problem with strangers, people we've never met. But when it comes to our families, sometimes we tend to be a little bit more relaxed. Is that true? Do you think that's true in y'all's case? It is. A lot of times that we don't know, those are the people that it's hardest for. Look at what 12:2 says right there. "Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He's telling us to keep our eyes upon Jesus, remembering his victory, because life happens to each and every one of us. There was, I've been over this before. There was a disturbing article to me in the Alabama Baptist this week. Did anybody read the "In Unusually Stressful Time, Pastors Are Tempted to Fall on Their Sword"? You did. And I had actually, Jan brought me, I have a, Jan brings me, there's one that goes to the church, but I'm going to leave this right down here for anybody to look at. But it was actually talking about what pastors are going through today and how a lot of them have been tempted to bail out because of the stress and because of the threats. Now, I would like to say this to you as my congregation, my sheep, thank you for what y'all do for me. Because overall, I think y'all have been really, really great. I haven't been dealing with stuff like this as far as myself, Leslie, Trey goes. We haven't really been attacked. Reading some of these stories in here of what people have done about the mask, no mask thing, and about people telling them, well, if you do this, I'm not giving my tithes anymore. I'm not going to do it. Almost like a bully method. You'd be surprised what this article says. And this is in our Alabama Baptist. This is happening in Alabama. I'm not making it up. This is a publicized paper that we get. And it was disturbing. It was sad a little bit to see what exactly is happening. So my encouragement to you is, and I told myself that I have felt nothing like this, that I feel like we went to two different services because that was the vote. People vote with their feet, do they not? I'm proud that we run 30-35 in here and that we run 30-35 in the second. We're not all going to agree on the same exact thing. We all have different tastes. We all have different opinions, and that's okay. But we do share one common ground, and that is our love for Jesus. I do not mean to scream, but I can't help but get excited because it shows us right there what we're supposed to do. It shows us, he tells us, he reminds us. You think about Martha Myers and what we're taking up today. I'm trying to walk, Trey. I'm not. You think about Martha Myers today and what she did for her country and what she did for the people of Yemen. Yemen is a country that is located in, it's where, Carolyn, help me out, Central, Western, or Western Asia, right? It is over there. It is a poor country. So there's the numbers I saw. Oh, no, I wrote it. Did I? 79% living under the poverty line, 65% considered extremely poor. She was a doctor. She, a doctor of gynecology. She delivered babies. Do you know how cushy her life would have been over here? I mean, think about that for a minute. She gave her life to Christ, is what she did. She spent 25 years in Yemen. 25 years until she was gunned down. And they said the people, the man who pulled the trigger, he was not responsible because she had died to Christ so many years before. She gave her all in all for that country and for the people. Delivered hundreds, maybe even thousands of babies. We never know. But God had her right there helping, right there on the front line. You think about that, and you think about what you do today to further the kingdom of God and to further his walk with yourself. What do you do is the question. Because we've already seen that he tells us to keep. When she was laid to rest, the Yemen people built her a coffin. I read this, Miss Carolyn. Back me up if I'm wrong. They built her coffin for her. They call them Yemenis is what I saw. I hope I'm saying that word, pronouncing it correctly. But when they had built her coffin and had put her in it and were getting ready to lay her rest, they said over 40,000 Yemeni people came by
and touched her casket. That's how many lives she had affected. Now, when we get done with our lives here on this earth, who are we going to have affected? Who are we going to be able to show glory to? This is our time right now. This is our time. You think about Martha Myers, and you think about Miss Kathleen Mallory. And Kathleen Mallory, I can get to that in a minute, but Selma, right, Leslie? Selma, Alabama, Women's Missions was responsible for moving it to Birmingham, never accepted over the salary of what a missionary would get. Oh, she was amazing. And we're talking hundreds of thousands, I mean, is what we're talking about. People affected. What a ministry. And we're given that today. That's why I said I feel so strongly that we ought to blow 3,000 out the door. That should not be a big deal. We ought to take that and run with it. Now, I'm big. I'm like Miss Brenda and I'm like Miss Carolyn. I'm big on the missionaries because I see where our help is needed. I see where our help is needed. Look at what he says right there in 12:3 and 4. Look at this. He tells us what happens when the inspiration, what happens when we're tired and when we're weary. Look at what he says. He says, "Consider him who endured such oppositions from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Consider him. Consider what Jesus went through as we start our days, as we start our weeks. Look at 12:5-10. It says, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father, addresses you as a father addresses his son?" It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Look at what 7 says. Endure hardship as discipline. Now, what did I tell you last week when we were going over the words? Anybody remember last Sunday? Y'all remember what I preached on, right? Everybody took good notes? I don't think they did, Leslie. We went over the word endure is what we did. And we looked at that word very carefully, and I told you that God had jumped that word out of me. Well, he did it again this week, and I didn't even see that when I was praying about what to preach on, and I was thinking about Myers Mallory, and I was thinking about deacons' nominations, and I was thinking about everything that was happening in the week and how things are just different right now, and we're doing the best we can. And then I got my Alabama Baptist this week, and I read that article, and I was like, man. Golly, made me want to drop to my knees and just pray for the preachers all over this state and say, this is our time that we need to be digging in deeper. This is our time that we need to be holding together tighter. This is our time when our community is the most important thing. 2 services is not a big deal. We're getting together now. It would do my heart. My heart would soar if I could have everybody in here at one time. Don't get me wrong. That's my end goal. But for right now, we're okay to do that. At least we're coming together. We are. We're trying something really hard here. They're reminding us, endure. And I thought to myself again, Father, what am I enduring right now? What are you saying to me? What am I? And I started looking, and he thought, and it came to me, Michael, your race. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, as most of you already know this. Anything can happen. We're not guaranteed. It's amazing how quick it can be. Things can happen and turn. So we endure every day. And God encourages us. Look at what he found. I'm going to pick up in 7 right there. Romans 12:7. He says, endure the hardship as discipline because God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Which is very true. If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? 10 says, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. He gives us the value of hardship and the correction that we need when it comes to training. We are being trained every day. The instances, the things you have been through in your life all lead up to something bigger and better. They truly do. Our reward one day is Calvary. Our reward one day is eternity with Jesus. That is our reward. Those are the things that we look forward to in our daily walks, in our daily time. Those are the things. Y'all have got to read this article and you will go, wow, I had no idea this was happening. No idea. And this is in Alabama. And they said they're going to produce more in the upcoming weeks. Be reading about what is going on with Christians around this state and what people are going through. I feel blessed. I honestly do. I thank God for each and every one of you every day. I'm not the perfect preacher. I fumble my words. Come on. You know it. Leslie points them out all the time. No, I'm just kidding. I mess up my words, though. I get excited. I might holler. I don't do everything perfect. But I can tell you one thing. I love you. I love you. I love Jesus. And that's my main goal, is to bring us together. We are a community. We are a group of people who want to honor Jesus. Do good. Do missions. Whatever they may count on. This is your safe house. This is it. That's why it's so important for us to get back together as we're supposed to be. Keep going with this. Look at what 12:11 says. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. He gives us, Paul, showing us the good results of hardship, the good results of pressing on, the good results of actually what is happening. Look at what 12 says, 12 and 13. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level your paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. And you better sturdy your feet. He's telling us that we need to be sturdy, that we need to be straightforward, that we need to be ready for when Jesus comes. We need to be ready. You know, one of the hardest things I ever did, and I've talked about this a little bit with y'all, I loved the game of football. I did. And I'm going to tell y'all, I wasn't a half-bad player. I really wasn't. Wasn't a half-bad player. And those coaches, when I guess I started in 10th grade, they saw a little something in me. I ran the football is what I did. I played both ways. I played a defensive end, and I played a left halfback. And them coaches used to come out there all the time, and they'd tell me, you need to be faster. You need to get faster. So in 10th grade, when I was doing my training, you know, playing footballs right there at Autauga Academy, they used to put these parachutes behind me. And it was something that they had bought. I don't forget who bought it, Coach Johnson or one of them, but he had these parachutes. And Trey, you probably remember this running with them, don't you? I know Kyle would. Lee would definitely. But they used to strap these things onto you, and somebody would stand behind you, and you'd get in a three-point position, and they'd say, go, and they'd lift the parachute up, and boy, that thing just tugged at you. You just picked up an extra 40 pounds or 50 pounds of weight, or wind resistant is really what it was, and you would do your best to get down that field 50 yards. And it made me, I did that almost all summer long every day. And when it came time to run those 40s, Brother James will know what I'm talking about. They used to time me, and I went from a 4.6 to a 4.4. And they said, man, you shaved 2/10 off your 40. You can run, son. And I could run. That was no pads or nothing like that. But, yeah, I could get on down the field. It's amazing how those days are come and gone now. Now my knees just hurt a lot. That's what I deal with now. And besides being too out of shape to bowl, that happens too. But when we think about our spiritual faith, we think about something that lasts the rest of our life. Football was just a game that I played that I enjoyed for some years. But Jesus, that's eternity. Jesus, that's forever. I read John 8:12, and I said, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's what each and every one of us should be striving for. Think about Martha Myers. Think about Kathleen Mallory. Do you think at one point or another they ever got discouraged? Oh, yes, they did. Oh, yes, they did. I could see, especially being another, I could see both of them on their knees at night just praying to God, saying, Lord, am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right place? And then especially when you see scriptures like what we read today, therefore, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to always be ready. They drew strength from these words is what they did. And you know what? They probably got up and they dusted off their knees, or maybe it was time for bed and they laid down and they went to sleep with a smile on their face because they had the peace of Jesus Christ in their hearts is what they did. Think about that today as you give. And look at what 14 says, and I'm going to finish with this. He says, 12:14, he says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, I was reminded this week of how to look at somebody, or how to talk to somebody, or you know, not to be too careful to judge. And this goes for each and everybody. Before you do that, if you're looking at somebody, try looking at them through the eyes of Jesus and tell me what you see. Think about that. As we get ready to do our walk this morning, as we get ready to give to the Myers Mallory mission offering, I'm going to give you just a second. Please be writing your checks or getting up, whatever. I ask that we come to, y'all try to space it out so nobody gets nervous or anything like that, but try to be respectful. I ask that you think about your walk with Jesus. I ask that you think about the different things that happens in your everyday weeks, in your everyday lives, and think about how you could be shine a brighter light for Christ. Think about that. With our kids, with our families, with our friends,
We all agree strangers are pretty easy. We do. That's easy. Sometimes when it comes to our family, though, sometimes it gets a little harder. It does. But Christ is right there with us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, how, Father, you just pointed out to me, Lord, and thank you, God, for giving me words. I pray, Lord, that you be with all the Alabama churches, Alabama pastors, Lord, all over this world, Father. Give them strength right now, Father God, to help them keep fighting the fight, to help them keep getting going. Father, to help them keep glorifying you. God, as our community of believers, I pray, Lord, that you help us to go out, Father God, and make disciples for you. Lord, help us, Father God, just to be the people that you need us to be. And Father God, that we need to be for ourselves. Lord, I love you and I thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for people like Martha Myers and like Kathleen Mallory, Father, who go out and give their all, dear Lord. If that was their calling, that's what you laid on their heart, they made you proud, Father. Lord, I ask, God, that you be with us as a church as we glorify your name. Father, forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us of all of our sins. In your precious and holy name I pray, amen. If everybody will stand, Miss Kelly.